This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
This is taken from the Old Testament lesson, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 15. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword.
Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow."
Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep.
Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat."
He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones in a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again.
The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you."
He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there.
Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away."
He said, "Go and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by."
Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave.
Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away."
Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram."
Now for our New Testament lesson, I will be reading Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. "Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to the disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abram's offspring, heir according to the promise."
Our gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. "Then they arrived at the region of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on shore, a man from the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had not worn any clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs.
When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, shouting, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds.
Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss.
Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd stampeded down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And they went. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind.
And they became frightened. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then the whole throng of people of the surrounding region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned.
The man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him.
In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. In Christ shall true hearts
I was once watching Glenn Campbell in a live performance. He was performing with the Smothers Brothers. And one of the Smothers Brothers had, you know, all the guitars were already up there and they were on first. And then Glenn Campbell came on. And one of the Smothers Brothers had taken his guitar and put it out of tune. And he's playing his opening song and he's saying, "Tommy Smothers, do not tune my guitar." And then he finished the song and he gave it to one of his band members. And he said, "Would you tune my guitar? I forgot how to do it." And, you know, the band member went over and tuned the guitar and Glenn Campbell went on with the show. So did that fill in the right amount of time? Just perfect. Okay. Feel free to edit that out, whoever does that. Anyway, the person says, "Would you please go and get my prescription?" And you're like, "Well, yeah, I'll be glad to do that. But was that it? Did I listen to this entire story just for that? Well, yeah, but no. Because when we heard the entire story, we learned what this person had gone through and what it took to get that prescription and how important the prescription was to this person. And so we learned something. We will learn what the point is. The point, would you please go and get my prescription? But what we also learned was something about the person telling the story. Now, have you ever read one of our scripture lessons, one of our Bible stories, and you said, man, what's the point? You know, this is going on forever. What is the point? Think about our Old Testament lesson. Elijah is up in the northwest part of the country. He has just defeated the 450 prophets of Baal. And Queen Jezebel, who is the primary patron of the Baal cult, has put a price on Elijah's head. And so Elijah flees Jezebel. He heads way down south, south of Jerusalem, to try and get away from her. And while he's there, he is exhausted. He throws himself under a tree and falls asleep. But twice while he is there, an angel of the Lord comes and wakes him up and says, eat, drink, you're going to need it. And there's food there, okay? It's not much. It's bread that's been cooked on a campfire. It's not, you know, a T-bone steak with mashed potatoes and gravy and all of that, along with really good wine and tiramisu for dessert. No, it's bread and water, but it's enough. It gets him up and he starts going again. And on the strength of that, he walks 40 days, 40, hello, 40. Where have we heard that number before in the Bible? He walks 40 days down to the mountain. And when he gets to the mountain, he talks to God. God speaks to Elijah. And there is a great wind, and God is not in the wind. There's a great earthquake. God is not in the earthquake. There is a fire, a raging inferno. God is not in the fire. And then there comes the sound of sheer silence, the sound of absolute quiet. And God speaks to Elijah. And what has Elijah learned? What has Elijah learned? That God will speak to him. God sustains him, God nourishes him, and God speaks to him. Maybe not in the sort of head-banging pyrotechnic way that's easy for Elijah to hear. He's going to have to really pay attention. But God speaks to Elijah. And then we get to the point. Then we get to the point of the story that God says to Elijah, go to Damascus, which is modern Syria, go to Damascus and anoint a new king. And if we read a little further in the text, what we're going to find is that God is starting a revolution. This is the point, that God is unhappy with the rulers of the area, and God has decided to start over with fresh faces. This is the point, Elijah. Go and start a revolution. But along the way, what do we learn? That God nourishes, that God sustains. Yeah, it may not be much. It's bread. It's not prime rib. But God sustains. And we learn that God speaks to us. And it may not be the loud and thunderous voice we would all appreciate, but God speaks to us. Conversations with a friend, words from a favorite hymn. When we have turned off all the noise in the house and we are sitting and in our silence opening our heart to God, God speaks to us. Go and do this thing. Think about our New Testament lesson. Jesus and the disciples have gone across the Sea of Galilee. They've gone from the west to the east side. Remember, the west side is still, you know, in some way Israel. Remember, this is 700 years later, is Israel. But over here on the east side, this is the Gentile area. We know it's Gentile area. We're raising a lot of pigs. But we're over here on the Gentile area. As soon as Jesus pulls up, as soon as the boat makes land, he is approached by a man from the city, a man who used to have a good life. He had a responsible job. He had friends. He was respected in his community. But now he is one of the living dead. He is possessed by demons. He is naked. He lives in the tombs. And Jesus is not satisfied with the status quo. Jesus orders the demons out of the man. They entered the nearby herd of pigs. The pigs rush over the cliff into the sea, and they drown. And what do we learn here? We learn that God, Jesus, is not satisfied with the way things are. We don't have to be possessed by demons. Whatever demons may be haunting us, whether it's anger or fear or that time we were hurt or misused and we just cannot let it go, whatever is keeping us from sleeping at night, whatever is haunting our day, it doesn't have to stay there. God can move that demon out. This is what we learn. Then everybody is told about this, and everybody comes and gathers around Jesus. Are they excited? No, they're terrified. How sad is that? Here's this man who can cast demons out. What else can he do? Was there no one else in the community with a demon? Was there no one who was sick? Did anybody say, you know, he can do this. Maybe he can cure Bob over here of his whatever. But nobody does that. You know, better the demons we know than the miracle worker that we don't. And so they ask Jesus to leave. And he does. Because, you know, interesting thing about Jesus, he doesn't hang around where he's not wanted. Jesus doesn't force himself on us. We don't want him there. He will leave. The man, who is now in his right mind, who is properly dressed, wants to go with Jesus and be with him. And Jesus says, no, you stay here. You go back to the city. And tell everybody everything that God has done for you. You see, this is the point. Go and share what God has done. Go and share what God has done. We read this long story to get to this point. But along the way, we've learned something. That God is not satisfied with the status quo. That we don't have to be possessed by demons. We don't have to have that same horrible incident in our mind that we think about every other hour all the time. That can be gone. Well, now at this point, somebody, I suspect, is saying, okay, Ken, now what's your point? You've taken these two stories, you've recounted them well, you've knit them together nicely. But what's your point, Ken? What do you want us to do? Well, let's go back and look at the story. What have we learned? What have we learned? We've learned that God cares for us, that God will give us what we need. And yes, it may be more like bread than prime rib, but it's enough. It sustains us. What have we learned? We've learned that God speaks to us. It's not handwriting on a wall. It's a suggestion from a friend. It's a note from someone you care about. It's that thought that comes to you when you're just sitting in absolute silence. God speaks to all of us. What else have we learned? We've learned that God heals us. God doesn't mean for us to be possessed by demons. God doesn't mean for the addiction, the fear of missing out, the uncertainty about the future that is weighing us down. God doesn't mean for that to overshadow our lives. God heals us. God drives out those demons. And now, though, here's the point. The point is we need to go and share this good news. We need to go and tell what God has done for us. We need to share what we heard Carol read from our epistle lesson, that in Jesus we are all siblings together. We are all the brothers and sisters of Jesus in our baptisms. We are all one in God. We are all children of Father Abraham. And if we are children of Abraham, then we are heirs along with Jesus of the promise of the eternal life of God's love. The point is, we need to let others know that God loves all of us. So in Christ, there's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. In Christ, there is no longer male or female or transsexual. There is no longer climate change believers and climate change deniers. There is no longer Republican and Democrat and independent and libertarian. There is no longer Fox News addicts and MSNBC addicts. In Christ, we are all one. This is the point. And so now we are called, like Elijah, like the man with the demons, to get up and go, not sit on it, but get up and go and share the good news, to go and share the story that never ends. We are called to share the story that will not end, the story of how much God loves us. Friends, may we tell it well. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.